This is Praha, Czechoslovakia calling. Ladies and gentlemen, you will hear now the English translation of the farewell speech of our president, Dr. Edvard Beneš.
Dear fellow citizens, I have just sent the Prime Minister a letter in which I resign my office as president. I turn to you in order to take my leave from you as president, to take my leave of my political collaborators, of our brilliant army, of the legionaries, and of all those with whom I have had contract as president and with whom I collaborated. I have reached my decision after conferences with political and constitutional circles and with other factors, freely and from my own personal conviction. I had intended to do so immediately after the Munich decisions. I postponed this so that I might first assure a firmer and more lasting government. I believe that in the present circumstances, the step is a correct one. I do not intend to analyze the whole political situation which led me to this decision. I wish only briefly to state that the whole system of European equilibrium, built up after the war, has for some years continually weakened, and in the last years in particular has substantially changed. It changed to the disadvantage of ourselves and of our friends. In the last 3 years, events have moved with unexpected quickness. We have strained all our forces when this development took on here at home the characteristic of nationality struggles. We sincerely tried to come to an understanding with the other nationalities. We went to the extreme limit of possible concessions, but influences from abroad and the whole course of events in Europe had the effect that these matters developed into an international conflict during which we had to defend our frontiers by military strength. We all did this with energy, with devotion, and with such great self-sacrifice that is hardly paralleled and is respected by everyone, friend or foe. It was clear that a European and a world catastrophe would develop from this situation. You know that under these circumstances, the four great powers came together, agreed among themselves about sacrifices to be demanded from us in the interests of world peace, and forced us to accept them. I do not wish today to analyze in detail or to criticize these matters. Do not expect from me any word of recrimination in any direction. Someday, all will be judged by history and will be decided justly. I say only this, that we feel with pain. The sacrifices which were so urgently demanded from us are tremendous and they are not just. The nation will never forget this, even if they are born with a dignity, calmness, and self-confidence arousing general admiration. In this can be seen the strength of our nation and the model greatness of its sons and daughters. During that time I defended, according to my duty and with all my devotion, the interests of our state and nation and of our previous position in Europe. Those people are wrong who fail to see correctly the hundreds and hundreds of our efforts and endeavors to preserve peace and to build up collaboration for peace, to create good neighborliness, who do not see our real goodwill to come to an understanding with all around us. The forces against all this, however, were more powerful. I think that under these circumstances, it is best that the new course of events and the new European collaboration should not be interrupted from our side, as it might be, if the head of our state were to place his personal position in the way of this development. Having been elected to my present position at a period substantially different from today, I must consider whether in the changed conditions I should remain in that place. Being a convinced Democrat, I think that I act correctly in resigning. We continue to remain Democrats. We shall continue to collaborate with the friends we have, but at the same time it is necessary to find a way to enable our state and our nation to develop quietly and uninterruptedly in the new environment and to adapt itself to the new conditions. This means to retain old friends and to gain new friends from those around us in peace and loyalty to all, as I always wish. Our state had a special national structure. The conditions now have greatly changed. A series of causes for disputes with our neighbors have disappeared. We shall have a national state, a state of Czechs and Slovaks, as in a certain sense the development of the national principle demands. In this will lie the great strength of our state and of all Czechoslovak people. This will give us a great new efficiency and a strong model basis such as we have not yet had. Our national culture will become more profound and stronger. We are strong enough and there are enough of us. We look forward to our national future with hope. The Czechs and the Slovaks, by their origin, by the hold of their education for generations, are anything but a nation which succumbs to catastrophe. We are a typically sober-minded nation, and just as we did not grow proud in good fortune, so do we keep our heads in misfortune. Heroism, worth, and self-denial, which the moment now demands of us, is in no way less or less dignified than the heroism of the battlefield. The branches of our tree have been lopped, but the roots of the nation are firmly intertwined into the country's soil. Let us go down to the roots. Let us concentrate there all our native strength, as we have done so on so many occasions in the course of our history. And once more, after the time, the crown will give forth new shoots. Let us keep it in mind that what remains to us as the kernel of our motherland, after all our sacrifices, is an inheritance which we must preserve for future generations. It remains a wealth of material values. Even now, we are by no means among the smallest states, and we are a nation whose culture bears comparison with the culture of the largest nations of the world, and which exceeds the culture of many. All this binds us to maintain this special inheritance in firm hands. Finally, I turn to you all with an ardent, sincere appeal coming from the heart. The motherland of the Czechs and the Slovaks is really in danger, and it would be in greater danger if we, in these moments, we failed to come together in the unity and the complete moral strength of people devoted to each other. It is necessary, first of all, to agree with the Slovaks. They also are in danger. Today, it is not a matter of any special concession. We must give way to each other wherever it is necessary. I turn also to all the other classes of the population, the farmers, the workers, the middle classes, and the intelligentsia. Preserve peace and unity and devotion. Love one another, for as Masaryk used to say, the motherland, the state, and the nation, that is all of you together, and you must stand on your family's side. Lay aside all disputes and the small interests of the day, and unite all your efforts in one aim, to work in common for the country and the state. I make specially ardent thanks to our brilliant army. Through each moment of my presidential activity, I devoted myself to the army, and I never forgot it. I believe in its further successful development and in its future. I end with an expression of true conviction, an expression of my found faith in the material strength and the firmness of our nation, in its energy, enthusiasm, perseverance, and above all, in its faith in the ideals of humanity, in the ideals of liberty, right, and justice, for which it has often fought, for which it has often suffered, and by which it has always triumphed once again. And I also have fought for them, and I remain true to them. I am not abandoning the ship during a storm. I believe, on the contrary, that in this moment such a sacrifice is a political necessity, even though it does not mean that I shall forget my duty to continue my work as a citizen and a patriot. I wish you all, I wish the Republic, I wish the nation, an early return to better days, that we might live, grow, and blossom anew, a splendid offshoot of the human family, and as one of the noblest and finest of the European nations.